Boa tarde. So it's a great pleasure to be here. I always have a lot of fun when I come to Brazil, and it's one of my favorite places to go to. So now I'm coming virtually. I want to start by saying that, right now these are difficult times, and I think we should make no mistake by skipping the part that is difficult, the survival part, which I think is hitting all of the countries here in Switzerland where I live. It has calmed down a little bit, but there was quite a bit of panic 2 months ago. And of course, in Brazil right now, we're looking at, it's pretty much the peak of things. So I feel with you there, and I just want to tell you to hang on and do your best and stay safe. And maybe my speech can help you find some hope in the future. So really what's happening, I think, right now is that our program has become disrupted. Right? Our everyday routine has become disrupted. The channels are no longer working. The narrative is changing. And everything that we thought about just a year ago, half a year ago, is different. Take my own work. I used to fly all over the world, 300 flights a year last year. Crazy. And now I'm sitting here looking at the camera. And our whole business is changing. Everybody's pivoting, right? It's a total reset time. Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum talked a lot about this 2 weeks ago in his event called The Great Reset. I really do think this is the Great Reset. And there's many great things about it and many very difficult things. What we need to do right now is survive, collaborate, have solidarity, help each other. And these are very human things that are coming to fruition now. But make no mistake about it, the program is changing. We are not going back to normal, and many of us would say that normal wasn't good anyway. We are going back to a new world. And I'll tell you about what that entails and what my hunches are. And also, I want to say in the beginning that as a futurist, I don't really do predictions, right? My job is to feel what may be coming, to develop intuition, imagination, observation. I think everybody in the futurist community would agree this is really our skill, is to kind of observe and learn. So let me start with this statement from Milton Friedman, the economist, the famous economist, right, who is in fact not very often quoted by me, but I'm quoting him now. And he says basically only a crisis produces real change. And when that change happens, the actions that are coming out of it depend on the ideas that are lying around. So in many ways, you could say the corona crisis is amplifying the good things in us, and it's also amplifying the bad things. And so whatever was bad before, it's probably worse now, especially in Brazil, I would say, or in the US or many other countries. But we're looking at a really different scenario here to where we can safely say, well, economic growth, right? I mean, the idea of what's happening with economics, we can say, well, we don't know what this crisis entails. Will it come back up very quickly? That's not very likely. Will it be an L shape, stay down and stay down forever? What's going to happen there? And it's pretty safe to say, I think at this point, the future is probably less certain than ever before, right? More uncertain. And we have to live with this. We have to develop the mindset of constant agility and the mindset of being ready for anything. One thing that's happening, and that's really striking, I'll fade myself out here again so you can see this, income inequality, general inequality, goes hand in hand with the rate of infections. And there's been a lot of studies on this lately saying, for example, in the US, which I'll show shortly, is that the more inequality there is in a country, US, UK, Brazil, maybe Russia, right? The more inequality there is, South Africa, right? The more people are suffering from the virus. There's a direct relationship between the two. And so this is a really, really important issue that we tackle inequality. Here you see the US numbers of infections. Basically, it's up and not going down. Policy is a total disaster in the US, and here is Brazil, right? There you can safely say it's probably just getting started. This is something we really have to look at. And that requires a lot of thinking about your own actions, collective actions and so on. I mean, we're talking about a quite significant change in alliance pretty much across the board. Here's a great message from UN Secretary Antonio Guterres, who talked 3 weeks ago about what is happening in the sort of dysfunctional system that we may be having here. I do hope you can hear the audio. I'll give it a try.
There is an effective dysfunctionality in the way all this is happening.
You can't hear the audio.
We have not a global governance system. Of course, the World Health Organization is the UN authority on health. Good. They have issued guidelines, but many of the countries have not respected them, or sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So the only way out is through effective international cooperation. And I believe the G20 can be the nucleus of that international cooperation, aiming at acting together in an articulated way. But look, I mean, this is not only the COVID-19. If you look at peace and security, I mean, the relationship between the biggest powers have never been as dysfunctional.
I'll skip the rest for this because it's, you know, it's an important speech. You should look it up on YouTube. But basically, he's saying that, you know, it is up to us to collaborate to deal with large things like this. And this is not the first one, and it's not going to be the last one. Right? After the COVID virus, there'll be other pandemics. There'll be issues about global unemployment, technological unemployment, food, water security, extraterrestrials, you name it, right? We have to learn how to collaborate. That is really what's happening. And so I came up with this graphic with my team. The graphic shows that we are in the time of great transformation, right? We are in a time of where everything that we know is being shifted. And we have to look at it this way. We're not going to go shift back to what it was before. If you look at the globe again earlier, it was at the bottom of it now. We have airlines, right? The worst business to be in. Cruise ships, pretty much dead. Oil and gas, sinking, right? And at the top of the pyramid, who are the winners? Healthcare, technology, right? Healthcare all across medical services, of course, right? Genetic engineering, government. An entire shift in this great transformation. So I always say it's really sort of the great transformation is really in crisis and an opportunity. It's both. And we have to start looking at the opportunity. We have to deal with the crisis and look at the opportunity. I think that's our real challenge. Now I want to get to an important point here. I've been doing this speaking roughly for 20 years, and I'm so happy that in the last couple of years, I've found some really amazing women around the world who are joined my team, like Jacqueline and many others. And we can safely say now in this corona crisis, it's the women, the female leaders who are showing the way, right? Whether it's in Norway, in New Zealand, in Denmark, in Iceland, in Taiwan, right? It's women and it's younger women, right? And I think this bodes well for the future, but what about Brazil? What's happening with Brazil in that regard? I don't know. I'm hopeful there'll be something. I'll give you a nice quote here from two women. You should take a look at this.
We are at a defining moment for the European Union, but I'm confident. The past weeks have shown that there is a growing awareness of the need to invest together in the European common good, and to do this by laying the foundations for the well-being of Europe's next generation. And I always think where there is a will, there is a way.
Yeah, that's Ursula von Leyen from the European Commission, President of the European Commission. Amazing, right? What she's talking about here, right? To where there is a will, there is a way. Right? I'll give you another great example. This is Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand.
If I could distill it down into one concept that we are pursuing in New Zealand, it is simple and it is this: kindness.
Now, this, imagine a man speaking to you about kindness. I mean, I do try to do that, but you know, I think this is a really interesting story. Female leaders are taking over. I see the future with women. I see the future with EQ. It doesn't mean that men don't have IQ, you know, I try. But this is clearly where things are going. It's a really interesting outcome from this whole debate about where this world is going. I also think that we're moving away from this concept of what I call ecosystems. I tried to write a book about this 10 years ago. It became part of my other book now. But it's about companies and states that think they can keep stuff to themselves, right? In many ways, Facebook has become such an ecosystem. It's all about them, it's not about us. You know, we're just fodder for their data. Right? And that's the past. It will not work, right? You cannot solve problems like climate change, food, water, security, all of those issues together, it has to be what I call the ecosystem, right? I mean, this is completely obvious. The companies that build strong ecosystems, like, say, Salesforce, right? They're coming out ahead. And of course, technology companies have built both ego and ecosystems, depending who you look at. But ecosystems are the future, building stuff that hangs together, building empires together where everybody is involved in building a little piece of it. So take it, for example, Airbnb, which in my view is an ecosystem, versus, say, Salesforce or other companies who are trying to help, who are going the extra mile right now to help us make it through the crisis. Right? This is all about ecosystem. If you can rebuild and pivot, build an ecosystem. So then the other thing that really comes in here is this, right? This is the question that I think Thais mentioned earlier, the question about capitalism. I mean, clearly, capitalism as we know it is completely unsuitable to deal with a large global crisis. We have, in fact, a kind of, I wouldn't say, socialism in people getting payment from the government everywhere in Europe, maybe not so much in Brazil, unfortunately. But we do have a situation where the government is doing everything now. Right? The government is changing all the rules. The government is making all the rules. But so this is an important question, though. How is that transformation going to come about? And I see this sort of in this graph that I like to use, that we just made this last week. You know, I see a new economy happening, a new logic also of the stock market that Al Gore has called sustainable capitalism. I sometimes call it post-capitalism, for the lack of better words. This is a huge transformation. It cannot be about corporate profit, about growth, about GDP. It has to be about people, planet, purpose, and prosperity. And I guarantee you this will be the new stock market in the next 5, 7, 10 years, depending on which one you're talking about. Because that's what we need to solve global problems like COVID-19. We have to have the collective understanding, the collective goal to reach something together. And let's be sure we know this, right? COVID-19 is just a test for the climate emergency. I know it's a tough one to stomach right now, given that we're suffering very much under COVID-19, but climate change, global warming, climate emergency, it's maybe a little bit further away, so harder for us to imagine. But we're looking at a future that is going to be significantly threatened. The climate change report says roughly in 40 years, if it goes on like this, we'll have 300 million climate refugees just in Europe coming north, you know, to get away from the heat. Right? So this is something that we have to think about. You know, can we make sacrifices? Can we change our fossil fuel policy? Brazil is very heavily dependent on fossil fuel. That needs to change very, very, very quickly. And of course, yeah, not going to get into politics now. That would take a bunch of about 2 dozen caipirinhas before we get anywhere. But I think this is what's happening. Right? We talked about this when I was in Rio de Janeiro in February with Jacqueline at this really great event. We talked about investing. I think oil, gas, fossil fuel is so dead now and it's not coming back that a lot of money will go into renewable energy. A lot of money will go into healthcare. There should be many, many new jobs there. If you're looking for jobs for yourself or for your kids, that's the way to look outside of the traditional fuel industry. And right now, in many places, including Brazil and India, it's already cheaper to build a solar plant than to build a coal plant. And it's quite clear that that is the future. Some people say we have roughly 10 million jobs that are in the oil and gas industry. And many estimations say if we put money into it, there's going to be 100 million jobs there. So it's not all bad news. This is actually quite good news. So at the end of oil is near. So really what's happening here, right, today, and this is something we really have to get used to, and there are advantages here as well. The result of the COVID crisis is big technology is the winner. Everything is about tech, as we can see right here. You should look at my office when you have a chance. Big health, right? Pharma, vaccine, treatments, and so on, bioengineering, and finally, big state. That's probably not very good news in Brazil or the state, but big state is a very, very big deal here in Europe, right, where we're saying, well, we have to trust the state to ship us through this crisis. And it's also interesting, you know, like I said earlier, the countries where people trust their government, they are doing the best. New Zealand, Iceland, Germany, Switzerland. By and large, we trust our governments. So this is something, you know, think about opportunities that come from this. There's going to be trillions of dollars flowing into these sectors, right? Not just technology, but also healthcare and pharma and so on. That brings me to the mega shifts, part of our title. The mega shift is something I wrote about in my book, Tecnologia versus Humanidad. It's available in Portuguese and in Brazil. But you can download this chapter for free at megashifts.digital, also in Portuguese, not Brazilian, but Portuguese. So you can read that for free if you want. But basically, when people talk about digital transformation, and that is such an old story now, they're talking about transforming things into digital and using a mobile app. But, you know, I came up with 10 different things that are happening, and I animated them. Yeah, like I animate everything. But basically, yeah, this is what's happening, right? Things are becoming intelligent. Things are being personalized. Things are being robotized. We have augmented reality. We have disintermediation. To understand all that stuff is really crucial to your future. And I'm not going to get into great detail here because you can read that in the free chapter. But basically, understanding how they all flow together is what unlocks opportunities for new jobs, not just in technology, but across the board. Remember that the future is not about necessarily knowing everything. It's about understanding things, you know, collecting the dots. This is what really impresses me in the work of Bill Gates, for example, that he can connect all of those dots. It's beyond human in so many ways that, you know, this is really the skill that we need to have, right? So here are some people who connected the dots. Bring myself back in. This is a company called Leitut from Portugal. They invented a 3D printed ventilator. Right? I mean, talking about progress in technology, everybody's short of ventilators now. Can we use that to print them? Well, I hope it pans out, but they showed it on YouTube. You can take a look at this, but mind-boggling technology that's happening here. So in regards to working from home, it's clear this is a new normal. I don't know how much you like working from home. I mean, I've always worked from home, so it's not that much different for me, but I think for many people it's pretty tough with the family and the kids. You know, if you don't have a huge house, yeah, that's difficult. But I think we better get used to this. And I think it's an opportunity for us to come up with new modes of working. There's a lot of research saying that maybe in you know, something like 10 years, 50% of people will be freelance working as a contractor remotely. So that's something to get used to. I think, you know, get ready for remote everything. Remote everything is like, you know, doing everything online, buying stuff online, working online. I know it's hard because sometimes we don't have the right equipment, we don't have the internet, but there's going to be huge leaps here. So this could be great or it could be not so great, but I think there's a great chance that it could be quite good for us, generally speaking, for work in a global environment. So that's a key point here. Not everybody has an office like this. This is not my office, but this will be the challenge. We also have to provide a social structure and backup for contract workers and all that stuff. They have to be treated like other workers. That's quite clearly a demand that we're going to see in the future. Great opportunity is connected healthcare. I mean, obviously right now we're going to solve this virus issue with a vaccine, with a therapeutic for those that already have it, with many ways in the next, hopefully, year, maybe 2 years if you're a pessimist. Yeah, but that's still pretty far away. But right now, healthcare is getting trillions of dollars to develop this. 300,000 scientists are working on the vaccine and on antibody treatments and so on. So connected healthcare is a huge business, also a great area to work in because clearly it's all about data. And what we're going to see here is, of course, these are the major growth areas. And Brazil has lots of industries in this, right? So hospitals, workflow, variables, diagnostics, therapy planning, virtual assistants, drug discovery with artificial intelligence. I think it's quite promising when we're looking in this direction. So let's start with talking about those three major things. You can't really see it here because it's also black, but I talk about data being the new oil a lot. You know, data is the driver of society. And I think you can see that paired up with this, right? Artificial intelligence means that data can become intelligent. Well, I think we're much better off in calling it smart, right? Not intelligent, right? Because data really isn't that intelligent. It's not human at all. It's not anywhere close to that. And of course, the Internet of Things. All of those things are coming together. All of those things will be basically creating a new reality for us and hopefully give us a solution to find a way out of the virus as well to help us in healthcare. Here's a short video with artificial intelligence actually used to track COVID and to prepare and to analyze and to give us anticipation and prediction of data with a company called Blue Dot. So I'm going to play this real quick and hopefully get the audio.
After identifying the outbreak in Wuhan, Canadian company Blue Dot gathered data on people's movements based on their mobile phone use, which is what you're seeing right now. This was combined with other information, including flight ticket data, to predict the subsequent spread of the virus.
So lots of hopes that we can use technology to address those global issues, but we have to have the political will and we have to have the data. So there's lots and lots of discussions about data security, but clearly technology is the key for a different kind of future there. And clearly, I mean, if we're looking at the statistics, it's also what's happening, it's totally obvious, right, that the technology companies are the winners. I mean, look at their stock market value, right? They have boomed. Technology is the winner of the crisis, hopefully not by design, but clearly technology is the key to the future in so many ways, and understanding that is key for us. And this is the rules of technology. I call them the future principles. Exponential means that technology grows like this, not linear. Converging industries and combinatorial products. This is very important for us to remember. If you're in a startup, if you're innovating, those are the three principles of how everything takes off, right? Or not, for that matter. So exponential, combinatorial, and convergent. Right? Technology like this, right? Face recognition, being able to see who is where, tracing us, and that's also becoming the new normal. I think clearly that is something we have to think about as an emergency measure. But I always say, quoting Einstein, everything should be as connected as necessary, but not more. So there is such a thing as too much of a good thing, too much technology, right? Too much power, being a panopticon. That's something we have to be very careful about when we talk about technology in the future. And, you know, a lot of countries like Israel, Singapore, and other countries that have managed okay with their treating of the COVID crisis, that they're scanning everybody and everything to get data to put it all together. I think it's okay for an emergency, but what we don't want is what I call corona washing. You know, finding an argument for overstretching technology to keep us safe, allegedly. Then we end up with the Edward Snowden argument, right? It's whatever keeps us safe is okay. Well, you can't have 100% security and any freedom, right? It just doesn't collaterate like this. So very important that we keep this in mind. The more we connect, the more we must protect what makes us human. I think this is going to be crucial in this crisis too. What makes us human is what makes the difference, right? Our relationships, our compassion, our empathy, our solidarity. That has nothing to do with machines and technology.